ought to be worshiping. And I speak that respectfully. We're not trying to trash you and turn you into garbage. That's not the point of the ministry. But if anybody ought to worship God, it ought to be the blood bought. It ought to be the spirit filled. And we don't need much priming. It's in us. Now, I hate to take too long. Last week, I was pretty short and surprised some. And this week, it's such a rich subject. I do declare that I will do my best not to go too far out there and just take too much of your time. But what if the Lord does something? But what if he wants to say something? Then that's a different story, isn't it? We used to stay in church. We didn't want to go. The cloud come in there and make you want to hang in there for the next thing. And the choir's done singing and we start singing again. Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to invite your attention to the book of St. John. And if you go on over to the 17th chapter, that will put us in our textual environment. But I would ask you, where do you wish you were this very moment? Amen. Well, Jesus is praying for something even better than that. Some say, well, I'm in church and that's where I want to be. I brought my body here, didn't I? Well, there's something good for you that elevates higher than that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you will look at St. John, the 17th chapter, verse number 13, as we stand, I will read that along with you. St. John 17, verse number 13. And when you have that, please signify by saying amen. Touch me, Lord. I beg of you in the name of Jesus. Now, verse number 13, what does it say? And now, and now, and now, and now, and now, and now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world that they might have whose joy? My joy fulfilled in them. Selves. Verse number 14, I have given them thy word, and the world, who's them? His disciples, his followers, his disciplined ones. Later on, it would become the church. I've given them my word. And the world, read, hath hated them because they are not of the world. And what? Even as I am not of the world. You may be seated after reading that wonderful dissertation. from Jesus himself. And truly, the half has not been told. I would like to entitle this message for those that like to keep up with a title and something like that. Look at your neighbor and say, already been prayed for. Put an I on there. I have already been prayed for. This prayer is prophetic in the truest sense of the word. It is not only prophetic, but Jesus is standing in for us as our great high priest. He is both priestly and prophetic in this priestly prayer. And what we can see in it is that God, hold on here, is that Sister Mother Houston? Lord have mercy. What you doing in here? Don't you look pretty? Boy, she's been through the wind and the rain. Well, we're so happy to see you. I mean, she's been through it. I want to give a special shout out and tell you, don't forget, amen, Sister Martin. Raise your hand, Sister Martin, out there, Tyson. Tyson Martin, don't forget her. Glad, don't forget her. Amen. Happy to see you. And so the prayer is both priestly and prophetic. What that means is that God, through Christ, has aimed this prophecy toward every one of us, especially they who will repent and believe the gospel. I want you to know that no Judas shall be saved. Judas was a treasonous. He was mixed in with the people. He was so busy officiating and indulging in his title, he ended up betraying the Lord. No Judas can be saved. He is dealing with the righteous. He is dealing with believers. Come on, somebody. And those that are straggling the fence and they go back and forth, there's even hope for you if you would just stop that and come on into the Lord. Can I get a witness in here? I mean, every one of us at some point struggled with trying to be good and trying to be a Christian. Ever since we've been little, somebody got their bluff in on us and told us that there's a God in heaven and he has a son that came to redeem us from sin. And you must be good. And I asked my mother, I said, how long? Now, she should have slapped me. How long can I chase these girls? I'm not even 12. That's right. I said to her, till I'm 12? Is that when I have to start really being good? And she gave me the spiritual business and let me know the danger I was in for trying to time God so I can do me. I'm not the only one, so I don't care how you misinterpreted me just then. I think everybody has things that God has had to overlook and work on them till they get it right. And so we see in the text today that he says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy. Isn't that wonderful? Fulfilled in themselves. And when he says, have my joy fulfilled in themselves, he's letting us know that I'm going to give to my disciples the full, listen to this, the full measure of my joy. If you are in captivity to your wife or your husband, you are not experiencing the full measure of the joy that he gives. He will give you a joy that is greater than your husband when he turns into the devil every other week. He will give you a joy that's greater than that nagging harpy of a wife when she turns into a harpy. Mavada, evil, muya, evil woman. God will give you joy if you let him. Praise the Lord. He will give you the courage to put them in their place. And more often, it is not by your mouth. It is by your walk with God. Can I get a witness in here? I believe that if you walk with God, God will put something on you that will get after your mate and cause them to know they better slow their roll. But if you run in your mouth and you're fighting his battle when you ought to be waiting on him, then he will delay dealing with your partner. I wish somebody would talk to me. Now, that's just the context I want to show you, because we go, the Bible's not relevant. Oh, it's relevant. If you would get hold of the joy that Jesus said I will give you, he will cause you to elevate above the conditions that you have to face in life. And so, this prophetic prayer, as we stated, is aimed at every one of us. And let's look at its nature and how amazing it is. As Jesus in verse number 1, if you'll read that with me, he begins to talk about something that shows you how big he is. Verse number 1, what does it say? Now look at your neighbor and tell him, now these are the divine certainties. It's certain to happen. And much of it has already happened. He said it. It has and shall be done. You've been in church long enough to know what is waiting for us. And you ought to have been in here long enough to know that some things you can have down here. Praise the Lord, everybody. So he spake these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. Please read. And said, Father, the hour is come. You know what he's letting you know? He's letting you know that God holds time in his hand. You cannot beg him to abandon what he has set in the boundaries of your time. God knows how long it takes to get you ready for heaven. He knows what to allow to happen to you to get you to wean yourself from the love of the world. Everything about you is in the timing of God. In this text, Jesus is really educating the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said that in the fullness of the measure of time, God brought forth a son. Amen. Born of a woman, made under the law. But look at what he said. The time had come. Letting you know I don't care how bad it is, regardless of what's going on around you. God holds your time in his hand. Can somebody say amen? So he says, the hour is come. He came there for that purpose. And when he begins to pray, he's giving us what he wants to come to pass. Don't ever think that God doesn't have a will. Did I say that too hard? God has a will. The world wants you to think that God left us here with no instructions. They want you to think that he's this mighty, great Savior, but he doesn't have enough sense to leave us with the Word of God. There are people that are living just as if God has never spoken. But he is speaking. He is in charge of the timing. And this is what Jesus is asking for and really revealing to us. The hour has come, and I want the Son to be glorified. And I want everyone to know that the Son will also glorify the Father. I'm not trying to get you to see three people or four or a multiplicity of deities. I simply want you to see it just as it is. God is the completeness of the Godhead. He is the complete unity of the Godhead. And in every manifestation, he indeed is one, the eternal spirit, but manifests in various functions. In this respect, it's a mystery, I'm telling you. God became God in Christ and Christ in God. I dare any of you to get your knife out and cut that in pieces. There is no way that you're smart enough to go in and split hairs and divide the spirit up. The spirit is not divided, but it is one. It can go on and do anything and be anything it wants to be. Some of you remember already, some of you teachers, it is he that spoke to Moses when Moses said, whom shall I say sent me? And Yahweh said, tell him I am that I am has sent you. I will be what I will be, when, where, how, and why. I am the total creator. I do what I want to do, and nobody can ask me and get away with it. What are you doing? God is sovereign, and he chooses to put on clothes, that's called flesh, and come down here and suffer a terrible death for the people of God. I want you to see in verse number one then, he's letting you know the time has come for God in Christ to be glorified. That's verse number one, A and B. The other thing in verse number two, that he wants this audience, this church, to be keenly aware of. What is it? Read, please. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now listen to that. This is Jesus, the God-man. That's the only way he could say it. He could not say it as merely a Jew. The deity in him has power over all flesh. He even said at one time, to let you know that the flesh is subject to the spirit, therefore it has been properly designated as sonship. The flesh, the human element, the soul, the emotions, the psyche, the intelligence, this part is the son. But the spirit, the deity, praise the Lord, that always was and always will be. I wish somebody knew their Bible. Praise the Lord. And so he says here in verse number 2, you've given me power over all flesh. Now watch this again. Not only is he from the dateless past, always was and always will be, but even in his human form, this is what makes him so awesome and worthy of worship. He was perfect. He never cussed. He never got with Mary that laid her head on his chest. He never turned out the Apostle John who laid his head on his chest. There was nothing filthy and unbecoming in him. When he was with man and female, wherever he was, he never did anything, do you hear me, to poison the atmosphere. That's our job. As human beings, we can really smell up the place. But when we obey God, then we develop an excellence about us that will cause us to go all the way to heaven in the end times. So you must understand, Jesus wants all of us to see that he has power over all flesh. And why does he have the power to indulge us about all of our carnal prayers? No. The major reason that he has demonstrated power over all flesh is that he should give eternal life, there it is, to as many as thou hast given him. It is in the power of Jesus Christ to give eternal life. I loved Louis Farrakhan before I got saved. I loved his doctrine. He used to talk about, it's not a literal resurrection. I said, good, I can still run the streets. He said, it's a resurrection of the mind. And I said, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, as long as my mind is resurrected, I can keep running these here streets and cutting the dusty from Thursday clean up to late Sunday night. And that's what I did. But thanks be unto God, he pitied me and made me understand that the resurrection and the eternal life he brings goes far beyond your mind. If God were to touch your mind and turn up his presence, it would short circuit you right in the pulpit and right there where you're sitting. But he has tempered it like he has atmospheric pressure. There's so many tons of atmospheric pressure. God has rightly distributed it so that it doesn't crush our skulls. 3,680 tons of pressure in this room. But God in his wisdom has so evenly distributed it Our eyeballs don't pop out. Praise the Lord. What kind of God is this that can put us in such a dangerous environment and cause us to live and to thrive in spite of the danger all around us? What kind of God is this that would allow a meteorite 100 miles wide to leave a star and chip off and never hit the earth? I'm telling you that all things are upheld by the word of his power. If he does these things in the natural, he's just showing off. He's letting us know, if I made it, I can make it live forever. How many feel you don't know how, you don't know when, you don't know where, but you just feel because you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to make it to the city? You ought to believe that with all your heart. Only the Holy Spirit can make you feel that way. And so he says in verse 2, I got power over all flesh to give them eternal life as thou hast given him. Verse number 3, I want you to know. Just say that as you're looking at this prayer. He wants us to know. Not Bishop Stevens, but he wants us to know in verse number 3. What is it? And this, I can't hear you, and this is life eternal, that they may know the invisible God. Now this is terrible, to run around talking about I saw God, I talked to God, I feel God. Do you know the world will shame you out of that? They will brand you a know-it-all, like they do all pastors. That's why I don't relish getting up here preaching, because it's my time, you see, and it's my hour, and you run the risk of looking like a know-it-all. That's why every now and then you have to confess, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, hallelujah, where would I be? If I don't remind myself of that, I will begin to think that knowledge, special knowledge, is special. But I want you to know it all comes from God. And he has given us special knowledge. Praise the Lord in verse number 3. And Jesus is in the background saying, I want you to know this. And this is life eternal. Read, you got to get this. You going crazy about everything else. Go crazy about this world. Go crazy about this Cincinnati, Ohio. Go crazy about this Los Angeles Lakers. Go crazy about this Denver Nuggets, P. Diddy, Beyonce. Go crazy about this. Go crazy about this. Who is that fellow that owned all these, a billionaire and a computer whiz? Amen. Go crazy about this if you can. Go crazy about this. Brag about this. Glory in this. And what is it? Verse number 3. That they may know thee, the invisible God, the only true God. And the King James Version puts "and" in there. The Greek word is kai, and it means even Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then there are other places where Jesus hits them point blank. Show us the Father, they say. Show us plainly. Why are you putting a mystery over it? Why are you mystifying who you really are? And Jesus says, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I am my Father are one. What makes them one is that unifying spirit that was never born but always was. It is that unifying spirit that spoke the worlds. Y'all ready to quit? Y'all ready to go home? Where are you going? I said I was going to let you go. But that unifying spirit, that pure and pristine spirit, made the situation oneness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But with naturally observable functions. Just because Jesus was a Jew, that's not the part that made him God. That was just his human privilege to be of his own people. The part that we worship today is not the Jewish aspect of Jesus. I'm not trying to find my family in Jerusalem so I can begin to call upon them to come and assist me when I get in trouble. What do they call that? Ancestor worship. I don't care what they say. We don't even know Jesus after the flesh anymore. We recognize that he came here human and divine, but the humanity we do not worship. We do not worship his address on earth. We do not worship the fact that he was a Jew and that I may be a Jew. I don't think I am. But I want you to know we worship him in spirit. Y'all go on and preach back at me. And in truth. The Bible says through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, somewhere in the first chapter, that nobody should try to glory in his presence. In 1 Timothy, he tells them, and also in Titus, when he tells them you ought to avoid foolish questions. Amen. All they do is tear up the church. All they do is cause contention and strife. All it is a dead language that you're preaching. If it's dead, you ought to leave it alone and get something that dispenses life. Our Lord and Savior said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the way and I am the truth and the life. Nobody can get to the mystery. Nobody can get to space. You can't even travel through space. Nobody can get through the unknown. Nobody can get through their heartache. Nobody can get to salvation. This is what he's saying, but by me. There is only one way. The Bible teaches us that we should preach this gospel, and that if any man comes to our house preaching anything but the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. It didn't say put a curse on them. You're to pray for them. But they're already cursed. Do you understand me? But if anybody comes to you preaching the gospel that Paul taught and the disciples and the apostles, the Bible lets us know that we are to welcome them and we are to remind them and remind ourselves the Lord is soon to come. The Lord is on his way. The time is right. The earth is shaking. The Gentiles are waking. Hey, they are waking to the day of the Antichrist. But there will be many who will repent and believe the gospel and will be saved before it's everlasting too late, because they finally recognize what Jesus really wants. He wants us to believe that he alone can give eternal life. He wants us to believe that he holds the times in his hands. He wants us to believe that you can't get past the timing of God. He wants us to believe that your life is no good if you can't give him the glory. If you can't shout hallelujah, if you can't give him the praise, if you can't be faithful to he that calleth you, if you can't work out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling, your life is in vain. If you can't let hallelujah roar the holiness of his character all day long, if you can't say hallelujah, which means the Lord is there, if you can't say hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, if you can't say hallelujah, which means Shama, if you can't say hallelujah, which means it shall be done, then your life is in vain. I wonder what it would feel like if we not wait till we get to heaven, but give God the glory with this tongue. Your tongue is your glory, and if you use it right, you'll give God the glory. Your tongue is your escape. Your tongue, your mouth is your weapon. And when you begin to praise the Lord, I'm telling you, the enemy that you saw, he will turn and he will get his black, ugly, white, stinking hands off of you when you begin to shout hallelujah. There's only one that gets the glory. I got to go, but I just want to tell you what Jesus wants you to know. He wants you to know that eternal life comes from him. I wonder what it would be like if we would just let the enemy know just a little praise won't do. If we have to praise him for another 20 minutes until Holy Ghost fall, until healing fall, until revelation falls, until a way out of no way falls, until you feel better than when you came in, I dare you to open your mouth and let everybody know what you think. I'm gonna give up now. I've come too far to turn around. I've already been prayed for. Everything I need, I don't have to beg and whine God. I don't have to act like God won't do it. I'm telling you right now, he has declared the end from the beginning, and everything I need has already been predetermined. I've already got calmness. I've already got peace. I've already got vision and revelation. The money's already coming. Yes, my household will be brought in order better than what it is. You ought to leap for joy if you can really believe this, that God has declared the end from the beginning. I dare you to look at your neighbor and touch him on the shoulder and tell him what you talking about. I've already been prayed for. I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized. I've already got the man. I've already got Jesus on my side. I've already got healing. I'm healed in my body. Yes, I feel something in it, but I'm healed in my spirit. And when I get healed in my spirit, my body will feel better. Come on and give God the glory. You ought to praise him until you feel a little bit better. Praise him until you go to walking. Praise him until you go to talking. Why, Bishop? Because I've already been prayed for. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him all the days of my appointed time. I'm going to wait till my change come. I'm not going anywhere. Yes, sir. Talk about me, misunderstand me, misconstrue me, ignore me, do everything. But all you doing is causing me to be blessed, because I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized. I've already been converted. And do you feel? I wonder, do you feel? Oh, do you feel all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way for you? Have you been prayed for? been loosed? Have you been delivered? He's already prayed for you. God bless you. Heaven smile on you. Lay hands on your neighbor. I believe a blessing's coming. Tell him, walk in this. Live in this. Live in this finishing anointing. It's a finishing anointing. It's already done. It's already a success. His eye is on you. His hand is on you. The word is on you. The prophecy has been aimed at you. Say yeah. How many feel the anointing in your hands, in your soul, in your spirit, in your life? It's because you've already been prayed for. Look at somebody and say, you see these threads? It had to happen because God said so. You see this health that I'm feeling? You see this life? It had to happen because God saw it before I got here. You know the prayer that I really love, but I got to quit because it's too much. He said, I want you with me. Look at somebody and tell them Jesus wants you with him. Come on, somebody. I want you in heaven. I want you at the festival. I want you in the rapture. I want you in the kingdom. I want you to be like angels. I want you to be immortal. I want you to be able to travel from heaven down to visit the Jews when they inherit the earth. I want you to be with me. When a man loves a woman and she loves him too, and he says, I want you. She says, no argument, big deity. Praise the Lord, everybody. I want you to know that the Lord wants you. He said that where I am, ye may be also. The doors of the church are open. If you want to join, come on to join. And if you haven't been baptized, get on up here and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Brother James Booker, I see you. God bless you, man. He heard me. Don't be acting like you didn't hear me. You heard me. You've already been prayed for. You go, well, what am I supposed to do with that? Pray what he prayed. You want your prayers to catch on fire? Get hold of what he prayed and pray it back to him. He'll recognize the sound of your voice. But if you come with some stuff that you made up, you're going to have some difficulty. But if you mouth his words and you repeat what he said, Lord, you promise. Lord, have mercy. Raise your hand if you ever wanted something, couldn't get it, and then you got to crying and said, Lord, you promise. And then he went on and gave it to you. Sometimes the Lord wants to be reminded of his own word. Let's sing real good. What y'all sing? I'm gonna sing and pray.
You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. have captured.
You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love.
You have captured.
You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love.
You have captured.
You have captured my heart, consumed
my heart.
My heart, my heart with your love.
Sing it again. You have captured.
You have captured
my heart,
my heart with your love.
If all I say
is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. You have captured.
You have captured
my heart, consumed my heart with your love. So
you have captured
my heart, consumed my heart with your love. If all I say
is Jesus, 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 more than enough.
Yeah. If all I say
is Jesus, Jesus, more than enough.
Can we say it again? If all I say
is Jesus, more than enough.
Yeah.
If all I say is Jesus, 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 more than enough.
All I say
is Jesus, 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 more than enough.
Yeah.
If all I say is Jesus, 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 more than enough.
If all I say is Jesus, hey.
All I say is Jesus, 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 more than enough.
All I say is Jesus.
Jesus, 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 more than enough.
If you have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love. Say.